Welcome to the Fright Radio Fright Bites, your source for hot news from around the web. Now, here's your host, the Radio Reaper.
Welcome to the Fright Bites, Frighteners. Ah, it's good to be back. We have re-envisioned our show into a bite-sized portion for your ease of listening. Our goal with this new bite-sized format is to be able to provide you with a more frequent show, yet still pack in the same great segments and hot news from around the web. With so much going on in the haunt community, sometimes some of the most interesting news can go unseen. And it's our goal to bring you those stories and provide you with the who, what, when, where, and why you should be checking them out. So, without further ado, let's kick off the show with a little music by Joyce Green, Black Cadillac.
I caught you cheating and running round, and now I'm gonna put you in a hole in the ground. I'm gonna ride to your funeral, Daddy, in a black Cadillac. Oh yeah, you think you are, oh baby, but you can't come back. Now I'm gonna bump you off, gonna tell you the reason why you work for me, dear Daddy. Oh, that you is alive. I'm gonna ride to your funeral, Daddy, in a black Cadillac. Oh yeah, you think you are, oh baby, but you can't come back. I'm gonna buy me a pistol, a great big 45. I'm gonna bring you back.
Are your quick cuts.
Hey Reaper, I hear Ghoulish Cop has actually been building props again.
He definitely is, Miss Mischief. Rich has caught the haunt bug again and has been posting daily videos to his YouTube channel, Ghoulish Cop. The vlog is titled Bleach Bones, and each video runs between 5 to 6 minutes. In the videos, Rich details his progress as he works towards his first ever home haunt walkthrough for Blackfriars Monastery. Personally, I've really enjoyed Rich's videos. They are well edited and planned out. He talks through his process, and through some of his ups and downs, we get to see him problem solve and find solutions. It's very informative and even funny at times, so go check out his channel, and if you like what you see, give the videos a thumbs up and subscribe, as Ghoulish Cop would say.
Have you seen the Enchanted Cardboard Forest? Sculpted by Eva Jospin on creativeboom.com. Does the layered cardboard technique have any potential for haunters?
I have seen them, Miss Mischief, and they are truly amazing. I mean, the amount of detail that Eva has put into each is just jaw-dropping. I do believe there is some potential for haunters to use this technique, but we have to keep in mind that these panels are made of cardboard. You would definitely have to deal with the elements if they were outside, and we definitely don't want to have any fires if they're on the inside of your haunt. From a home haunter's perspective, I do think they're very cool. If I had a party haunt and I wanted to create a whole theme of an outdoor forest on the inside of my house, I might go ahead and use this. It's for one night only, and I think it would be safe. If I wanted to run the risk of them possibly getting wet or maybe even damaged and have them put in my display on the outside of my house for one night again, I might even do that too. All in all, I just think they're awesome pieces of work, and I would definitely head on over to creativeboom.com, search Eva Jospin, and check these things out.
Is it true that the mad scientist himself, Mike Malello, has cooked up a new creepy creation in his mad lab?
It is true, Miss Mischief. He and partner Randy Klein have created the company Purebred Undead on Etsy, and their first offering, two resin busts, Frankie and Jeanette, are now available through their site. This is the first of many to come, and we may even see Purebred Undead pop up at a few conventions in the near future, so stay tuned for more information on them. And those are your quick cuts. Devil's Chariot.
Hi, this is Craig, also known as Devil's Chariot from the Haunt at Elizondo, and today I'm going to talk to you about developing concepts and ideas for your haunt. I've been home haunting for 7 years now, and in those 7 years, I've done three different haunts. Haunted Tiki Island, which was a combination of zombies and tikis and lava monsters. And then I did the Carnival of Risk, which was a turn-of-the-century Russian carnival and sideshow. And featuring cannibals, and my latest one, The Witches of Scabtree Hollow, which is a fictional retelling of the Salem witch trials, only in this version the pilgrims are just as evil as the witches. So when I'm developing a concept, I like to keep it simple. It should be able to be described in two or three words maximum: tikis and zombies, carnival and cannibals, witches and witch trials. This basically describes who is in a haunt and what they are doing. Then I like to add depth and consistency by setting it in a place and time. Haunted Island, turn of the century Russia, New England witch trials. Now that I've described the who, the what, the where, and the when, all I have left to do to fill in the story is figure out the why. And I'm going to figure out the why as I build my sets and props. I think having an overly complex concept can become a prison for creativity. By dictating what your haunt is too early, it diminishes your opportunities for improvising and deadens your intuition. Also, just the same thing for anyone who's helping you. They feel kind of like they're trapped and they can't be creative themselves. And I've done this to people before, so I know. Building props is really your best opportunity to develop the why of your story, to develop the conflict in your haunt, or the explanation as to what are these evil creatures up to, how can you escape, how can you defeat them, how can you help them, you know, if you're like a sixth sense kind of person, you want to help these ghosts. When building props and sets, I like to think of them as scenes from a movie or a painting first. I like to think about where I'll actually start sketching the part of the yard they're going to be built in, so I have an idea how they're going to fit into that area. And then I usually just start sketching in very rough shapes into a very vague place. What I'm trying to create first is a hierarchy of shapes and sizes. Some things are going to have similar shapes and create a rhythm of shapes. If you think about tombstones in a graveyard, that's a good example. While some parts will be tall or big or colorful, or usually two of those three things, and will help to anchor the scene. Once I have my rhythm and my focus, I start designing the prop that should fit into this rough template. And yes, I'm reading from a script. When I'm working on a prop, first thing I'm going to do is work out the pose, usually in a rough sketch. Sometimes I'll take a photograph of someone else in a pose, or I'll pose myself if I don't think anyone can get it right, and then use that as reference when I'm developing my prop, both in sketching and construction. When I do detailed sketches for a prop, it's not meant to be a map or an instruction manual for building the prop. I use it as a placeholder, like an inspiration drawing to kind of guide me as I build. Sometimes I only make them to show other people what I'm building, just so they'll stop asking me what I'm doing or why something is so tall. When I'm designing and building a prop, I focus most of my attention to the face and hands. That's how people communicate to each other, and that's how guests are going to relate to your prop. When I build multiple props in a scene, I try to make each one different by using pose and hand props, but then I try and make them look like they all came from the same world. Similar, but different. It's kind of like brothers and sisters are similar, but different. They have the same evil, haunted parents. When bringing these scenes and props together in a haunt layout, I try to create a blind transition from scene to scene, so you can't really see what's going to come next. For example, in Witches of Scab Tree Hollow, you pass under the gallows as you enter the queue area. Then you're waiting in a dimly lit hallway where all you can see is the empty space between two other sets. As soon as you enter the haunt, you're in a small shack used for torture. All you can see out of the exit is a single victim tied to a post. When you exit, you now see that the victim is part of a whole row of victims burnt at the stake. Once you walk past the torture house, you can finally see the graveyard in its entirety. Then you walk into a tree. Inside the tree, you'll find the witches around their cauldron doing their thing, but you cannot see the next scene until you make a 90-degree turn, which is where you'll find the skeleton's curse. Same thing happens again to enter the blacklight area, another 90-degree turn, and the whole blacklight area is revealed at one time. Throughout the haunt, each scene is revealed by turning a corner or passing through an enclosure. These visual breaks make our tiny yard haunt seem much bigger than it actually is. Each set is built to be best viewed as you first enter the scene. And that wraps it up. A quick overview of how I create the concepts and ideas for each of my haunts that I create anew every 3 years. I hope it was interesting and maybe a little bit helpful. I'm Devil's Chariot, and you're listening to Fright Radio.
From my haunt family to yours, this has been
Fright Radio!